Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning. Welcome back to True Vine Talks, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So last podcast, we talked about growing up with a narcissistic parent. And so today we're going to dive into, what do you do as an adult to heal from that chaotic, traumatizing childhood with a narcissistic parent?
Yeah. And what's the first step? If you're trying to heal your own inner child and integrate and become self-actualized, what is the first step, Rachel, you usually recommend for your folks that had a narcissistic parent?
I think in my work, it's a lot of validating the experience because you have learned to gaslight yourself into believing that, like, it wasn't that big a deal. I was being dramatic, blah, 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 'cause that's what you were told. So validating yourself and your own experience, that was real and that was really hurtful. And my needs, emotionally were not met. And so I did not feel loved or cared for a lot of the time, and that's okay. Like,
Yeah.
it wasn't okay that it happened, but it's okay to admit is what I mean. It's okay to acknowledge and admit that you had needs and they went unmet.
You're right. They had needs and they went unmet. That's the first step. What I run into, Rachel, I don't know if your clients do too, is that a lot of times we live in the Bible Belt and often there's a block there. Because we were raised to honor our parents, love and honor and obey thy parents. And that is a wonderful commandment, a beautiful commandment from God. And we want folks to honor and recognizing that we're broken people and we're raised by a broken parent sometimes that didn't get the help that they needed. And the abuse still happened. And you're not dishonoring a parent by talking about what happened to you. What happened to you?
Yeah.
And that's a block for a lot of my folks. Well, it goes into, like you said, gaslighting self, being like, oh, they provided for me, they fed me, they sheltered me. Yes, absolutely. They did a great job. So we want to honor that part too, that people are doing their very best with what they've got while still recognizing that your inner child didn't get a need met. So.
Yeah. So there's a lot of like reminding folks that like what we're discussing are facts. We're not gossiping. It is a fact that you were criticized and that left damage, emotional, mental damage, right? That you still carry with you today.
Yes. So acknowledging the facts, that's the first step in, overcoming narcissistic abuse from a parent is this happened to me. And then what would we typically do with a client after they've kind of adopted and adapted and recognized the truth of what happened? First step. And then we would
Yeah.
be a second step. I know what I would do, but what would Rachel do with her clients as a second step towards healing from that?
I think step two is boundaries.
Yes. Yeah.
How are we going to protect ourselves now that we're an adult and we have the ability to leave that environment that great create physical distance, and also emotional distance through like the level of that you're willing or able to communicate or, be involved in that sense.
Yes. And a boundary with a narcissist looks different than a boundary with a non-narcissist.
It is very black and white. It is crystal clear. Yeah.
Yeah. Because somewhere along the way, they got stuck between ages 3 to what, 7 typically.
Yeah, I think that sounds right.
Yeah, so it's very, if you do A, then B will happen.
And the B is what you are doing.
Yeah. If you yell at me, then I will remove myself. If you name call me, I will remove myself.
Yeah. And then you follow through with that. You cannot do like empty threats in this situation, or you will be taken advantage of. They will figure that out and take advantage of it. So you've
Absolutely.
got to follow through with what you say you're going to do as the consequence.
Otherwise, the narcissist emotional vampire will take advantage of your straddling the fence.
Yeah. And I always tell people they will be mad. They will be mad because they know that their temper tantrum gets them what they want. They've trained everyone around them to tiptoe and walk on eggshells and made it seem like the easiest thing for everyone to do is just give them what they want. And you have been trained to do that. You've been trained to believe that it's easier to just give them what they want, because then you don't have to deal with their angry outburst. But what's different now is you don't live there and you don't have to deal with the angry outburst. You can leave. You can block them so they're not blowing up your phone. You don't have to respond.
No response is a response.
Yes, it is. It's going to be hard. It's going to be so hard. Like, we are not at all suggesting that, like, oh, it's easy, just like leave and block them. Like, the emotional tie and enmeshment that has been created in the bond is so hard to break.
Created. This is good. Rachel, when we say created, we're talking about conditioning, Pavlov's dogs. I
Yes.
ring the bell and you come to eat, right? And the narcissist, if they get angry, they expect your behavior to be this because that gives them a dopamine release.
Yeah. Yeah. You see the look on their face. You know, oh crap, they're mad. All hell's about to break loose. So you just give in. You just become passive, submissive, whatever it takes to prevent Mount Helen from erupting. Like, yeah.
You're reconditioning the abuser by not following their conditioning.
You're reconditioning yourself. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. To not be like
Thank
your
you.
knee, or so your knee-jerk reaction isn't passivity and submissiveness. It's I matter.
Boom, boom.
And it's I matter. I deserve respect. Like, I'm not doing anything wrong by setting this boundary. You've been conditioned, convinced to believe otherwise. Yeah.
Yeah, the last time I let or permitted that parent to use language to harm me, there was a cutoff. There was a 2 year, maybe 5 year, 10 year, I'm not sure anymore. I lose count because I have to set the boundary over and over and put them in timeout, the parent or parents, in my case, parents. And then they go into timeout and they have to stew about why is Linda not talking to me? What, oh, I called her a brat, a rattlesnake. She's treating me bad. Just all the things narcissists do, name call. They try to make you feel like you did something wrong when all you have is pure inner child good intention. And when that gets abused, your heart gets punched. You start, you know, you're not, it's not you, honey. It's not you. It's not you.
Yep, it's not you. And so that's step three is talking to your inner child, right? It kind of happens simultaneously. Like we're setting these boundaries, and this person's getting angry, and so that's activating us to like do that old pattern of giving them what they want. We're not going to do that. And so how we're going to manage and get through that is visualize ourself at a younger age, and we are now the mom or dad. We are now the caregiver and the parent in that situation, us today. We're going to imagine ourselves sitting next to them and talking really calmly. I know it's so scary when they get mad at you. You feel like it's all your fault, and that's so hard, but it is not your fault, and you didn't do anything wrong. And I'm going to take care of them. You don't have to do a thing, right? I'm going to protect you.
Then your inner child, very well said, Rachel. Then your inner child feels safe and calm and secure, and they can be their authentic selves. It's like, oh wow, I don't have to activate, like you said, my behavior that narcissist wants me to do for their storybook. Oh, little Rachel, you're so smart and kind, and you love your parents, and you did a lot of good things. Yeah, so you want to talk to that part of yourself. Hey, you're a good girl. You have good intentions. And so that makes her know, oh, the narcissist parent, abusive parent's really the one who has the problem.
Yeah.
Whether they believe it or not.
And explain all of that to your inner child, right? You're allowed to want respect. You deserve respect, right? They were not treating you with respect.
Not
They
at all.
chose to act out in anger. You did not cause it. Yeah.
Because what does George Fowler teach us in family therapy is you are, as the adult in furrow, he teaches this too, you are responsible as the parent to always be the older, wiser, other, and caring. It's never the child's job to care for the older, wiser, other positionally and take care of their emotions. It's never the child's job.
Right. And so what we mean by that is like a child is never has to be responsible for supporting a parent emotionally, checking in on a parent, comforting a parent, regardless of what that parent is going through. That is not the child's responsibility.
Now, an unchecked, untreated, abusive parent is a really terrible parent because the awareness that they are behaving this way is not there. Often
Course.
they're clueless. Often clients are like, well, this may have been why they did this, or maybe it's because of this. It's not your job to understand. As a child of an abusive parent, they need to go get therapy. Your parents need to get their own therapy. And it's never too late for anyone to receive therapy around their own stuff to heal.
Right. Yeah. This is the beautiful thing about attachment is that at any age, we can become more securely attached.
Any age.
Yeah.
And can I just reference, I don't know if it's a good time for this, what the emotional vampires, his suggestions on how to set those boundaries. I want to put that in there. It's so good.
Yeah.
The narcissist makes you feel angry, fearful, scattered, chaotic. Don't engage. That's his first thing in his book. Number two, you do what the Rotary Club has done for hundreds of years. I don't know anything about politics or religion, and it won't be discussed. They love, narcissists love to get on isms and argue about those things. Turning the tables on the person does not usually work. The position of dominance is you asking a question. Oh, so you don't believe that way? So you think that everybody should be tree huggers? And when they say something like that to you, they're trying to bait you. Okay. So then you look.
Everything is a game.
Everything's a game. Everything. It's like nothing is just pure intention. There's no pure.
Everything's a game with a winner and a loser, and they want to win.
Boom. They have to win. So you look at him and you say, I like this. He says, ask them a question. If you must, he says, this is not the preference to shut them down. So what do you need trees for? When they say, oh, you're a tree hugger, what do we need trees for? Facts, logic. They can't argue with facts and logic. He says the fourth one, do not criticize a narcissist. They're so insecure that they're not receiving any feedback. Don't even go there. Fifthly, as a helping you overcome this abuser, ask, what is my goal in this relationship? And Rachel did a good job in the last podcast. What do I need from this bond?
What's possible from this bond is what I
Thank
would
you.
recommend asking yourself. What is actually possible from this bond? And is that worth it for me to continue trying to connect? It might not be. If it is, great. If it
Yeah.
isn't, that's okay too.
Well said. And then his final is narcissists need you to engage with them for them to get a dopamine fix. Therefore, don't
Engage
engage.
in drama.
Drama, 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 drama. Yep.
So
Don't
accurate.
engage. So that is from, I think I said, Emotional Vampires by Albert J. Bernstein. I had a wonderful book recommended to me by a wonderful person. And so that is a good book. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Just wanted to put that out there as a side note for our podcast there. Yeah. So we're
Yeah.
on step three or four, Rachel.
I think four. Yeah. What would come after boundaries and inner child work?
Yes. So you soothe the inner child and you've helped her know that she matters and that she doesn't have to be responsive to the abusive parent. So once you've soothed that part of her or him, you would then, your next step is to
I think it's grieving.
grieving. Thank you.
I think
Yes.
it's grieving the parent-child relationship that you longed for, that you deserved, where you felt safe and seen and understood. You never had that, and you never will.
You
And
never.
that's really hard to accept.
Thank you. Yes. That is a sad, sad time. And we often, I'll say, write a letter, you know? Yeah. Dear parent, I wish you had been. I'm sad that you couldn't show up for me in this way.
And so
And
all of those stages of grief show up, bargaining, anger. Sadness.
like you have to recognize, you will never get those unmet needs met from an abusive parent. I'm sorry, you won't. Yeah, or untreated parents. How about that too? Untreated, untreated. And so, yeah, that grief.
And then it's a matter of deciding kind of what we mentioned before, like what is possible from this relationship? Can I remain in contact? Do I need to go completely no contact?
That's a hard thing for folks. If you're God-led or self-led, you're the new parent to your inner child. And Rachel's taught me a lot about the reparenting. And so you got to be there for her, for him. And so in that process, you might ask him or her, are you ready to set a hard boundary with this parent? Are you ready to say no? And if the answer is no, I don't think I can, then the distance is paramount for you to integrate. And what do I mean by integrate, Rachel? I might be throwing that psych term there
Oh,
in.
I love it. It's think of integration like a fruit salad, not a smoothie. We've got all these different parts and we're trying to kind of like bring them together. Yeah. That's integration. Does that make sense?
I love the analogy.
That's Dan Siegel. Fruit salad versus smoothie. We're not
Thank
becoming
you.
just one thing, we're still many things. You know, we talk about these parts. We're still like our authentic self and our inner child and like our protector parts, the manager and the firefighter, but trying to get them to all work together cohesively, kind of like as a team. Yeah.
So that my inner child feels seen and heard. My manager feels soothed because I set a boundary. My protector can go offline because she doesn't have to protect me from abusive parents. So firefighters don't show up and sabotage me. So, I think that's a good, I think we've covered that pretty well on how to, set the limits and create a fruit salad of yourself.
It's mainly that inner child work. Once you've got those, you know, acknowledge the facts and the truth, validate what actually happened, right? To combat all the gaslighting, setting healthy boundaries, right? Getting those established. The bulk, the meat of the work is healing all of the shame and guilt that comes from a childhood full of criticism and blame. Learning to trust yourself again because you were taught not to.
That's right. Learning how to unlearn taking ownership for someone's bad day.
Yes, that's huge. I'm so glad you mentioned that because if you grow up with a narcissistic parent, you feel responsible for not just their emotions, but everybody's emotions. You're at the grocery store and someone in line behind you is frustrated because it's like they feel it's taken too long to check out. You're like, you're all frazzled trying to,
Do that.
you're not responsible for them. They could, I teach people, allow other people to choose anger. They can choose to be angry. They can choose to be happy. They can choose to be like they're choosing anger in that moment, and it's not your responsibility to convince them to feel otherwise.
So true. So perfect. That's so good, Rachel. Allowing other people to be uncomfortable with your inaction to their behavior.
Yeah. You don't have to jump in and rescue everybody.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And people are usually, once that sinks in, are like, oh, that's such a relief. You know, like, I don't have to rescue every single person that's upset. Oh my goodness. What will I do with all my free time?
Maybe go outside and play.
Yeah. Maybe finally have a regulated nervous system and not live in fight flight all the time. That would be nice.
That would be paradise, yeah.
That actually feels uncomfortable for people
Oh.
to not when you're like in fight flight stress mode all the time, and then you gradually come out of that and you're like, oh, this feels weird. Like, I'm not anxious. What?
I'm not
Feels like too good to be true. They don't trust it. They're just waiting for the other shoe to drop kind of sensation. Yeah.
That's when you do some self-evaluation. Am I looking for someone to fix? Don't need this fight, flight, freeze 24/7 or feigning. Is it feigning? The other one where you overdo
Yeah,
for food.
fawn response.
Fawning, not fainting. What's fainting? I added a new one. Fainting.
I like it. Yeah.
I
People do
did
that too.
faint. I
Yeah.
fainted for
Yeah. Pretty
oversleep.
accurate.
Yeah.
That's where the self-care comes in. And I'm not talking a spa day. I'm talking basic, fundamental, everyday self-care. Are you eating? Are you drinking water? Are you sleeping? Did you move at all?
Basics.
Basics.
Very good. Yeah. So I think we did a good job today, Rachel, covering how to create boundaries in a narcissistic parental relationship.
Yeah, very fundamental, obviously. Listen to some more podcasts that dive deeper, read some books, go to therapy. Highly
Go to
recommend it.
therapy. Highly recommend. Yeah, we're biased. We benefit from being therapists, of course, let's be honest. And therapy helps you to learn how to caretake yourself.
Yeah.
At least the therapy we do, Yeah. So thanks for joining us today on our Saturday morning to kind of process and understand a little more about how to set limits for abusive parents. Yeah.
All right, until next time, everybody take care.
Bye.
Bye.